This is LI in the AM with Jay Oliver. News, traffic, weather, and more. 1039 LI News Radio.
The big question this morning, was it a hoax? We'll decipher right now one of the best in the business, Brian Wagner, criminal defense attorney, a partner over at the MOWK Law based in New York City. He's also a former senior prosecutor for the district attorney's office, that being in Brooklyn. Tried many a case in court, took several cases to successful verdicts. The aforementioned Mr. Wagner himself. Brian, great to have you back in the program, sir.
Thanks for having me.
It is good stuff. The Smollett case has captivated the country over the last 10 days or so. And, you know, I tell you, Brian, each day just seemed doubt more of it raised as we have moved on here to the culmination of which the man was actually brought into custody, Jussie Smollett, that is. Give me your assessment from day one and how we ended up yesterday here.
I mean, first, it's crazy. Chicago doesn't have enough crime. He needs to make up crime. It really just boggles my mind. In terms of how I assessed it from the very beginning, you know, I know internally people thought it was kind of weird, but like any other hate crime, I thought it was offensive. I wasn't up in arms by it because, unfortunately, we see it all the time. But as the details come out more and more, and the bond proffer that the prosecutor's office in Chicago put out, the evidence against him is really, really strong. And it's going to be hard for him to explain any innocent explanation for this. So my guess is eventually this is going to end with a plea bargain where he admits, yeah, I made it up for, you know, the various reasons of publicity and or salary negotiation.
You know, it'd be interesting. I was fascinated to see if Mark Garagos would actually take this case on. He's been vocal. But I'm wondering now, you know, with more and more that has come out. I mean, listen, to me, there were flags everywhere from the fact after this whole thing started that he wouldn't, Jussie Smollett would not hand over his cell phone, which he said was on, by the way, with his agent listening to all this nonsense. But, you know, to me, if you're attacked on the street, 2 in the morning, doused with some sort of liquid noose around the neck, you know, you want to be able to give authorities, you know, every possible situation to capture the would-be assailants. You know, I mean, the fact that he wouldn't do that, I didn't like the interview he did with Robin Roberts, the GMA. There was something missing there, in my opinion. I can actually tell by body language from Robin Roberts that she also, you know, knew that something wasn't right with this whole thing. I'm giving her a little bit of credit here, but in essence, I just felt from day one when all this came out that there was something missing here.
It's interesting. You bring up the cell phone and him not turning that over. As a criminal defense attorney, that doesn't bother me because there are personal things on a cell phone. And at that point, he knows he's being interviewed as really a suspect at that point. And so even when I have a completely innocent client, whether it's a corporation or a individual, I tell him, unless you are positive this is going to prove your innocence, no, you're not going to give them anything because you're going to interpret it differently than an investigator. So the cell phone not being turned over doesn't really bother me. What bothers me is the check that he handed to the brothers, the video that shows them together, the text messages that show them together, all of those things. How are you going to say that you're strangers and that this was a hate crime if you know them? So that's the thing that really gets me hung up.
And not only that, how about a witness there, Brian, that that individual saw the three of them, Smollett, yeah, the two brothers, in an elevator. I mean, come on. Yeah. I mean, yeah, my goodness. you can't make this stuff up. I mean, everything here. But, you know, it's interesting how, and listen, what else are Smollett's lawyers going to say? I mean, they maintained yesterday, of course, of his impeccable character and integrity, betrayed by the legal system, despite all this mounting evidence regarding the staged attack. But, you know, the whole thing, the presumption of innocence, a bedrock in the search of justice, was trampled upon at the expense of Mr. Smollett. I mean, well, listen, what else are they going to say?
My guess, behind the scenes, and it might not be today, it might not be next week, but eventually, behind the scenes, they're going to go to the prosecutor's office and tell him, look, the letter that he got, that's a real letter. He didn't fake that letter. And that really upset him. And when no one really cared about it, he said, this is incredible. And let me actually bring some notoriety to it. And that's my guess. That was really the thing that set him off down this, what we'll call criminal path, because it is. And I think a prosecutor's office would actually understand that argument. It doesn't excuse it. Nothing ever excuses it, but it at least explains why he did what he did. And that's going to be the mitigation and the reason they ask for a less severe punishment than necessarily jail time. Because society doesn't benefit by this guy going to jail for any lengthy period of time.
When you think about it, I could actually see this guy, Brian, getting off completely. And I'll tell you why. You know, we kind of live in this Trumpisphere, so to speak. In which, you know, listen, there's been hatred and everything else. There's been racial divide. We've seen it over the last couple of years. Just kind of this particular case playing into it, I could get a sense, you know, of some leniency beyond here. I could see it. It shouldn't happen, but I could see it. If you are the defense, though, in this particular case, all of this stuff mounting beyond here, I mean, obviously, I would think you go for the plea and then, you know, maybe an apology. I don't know, though, if he's going to do that. He has been very demonstrative and adamant regarding the fact that this stuff actually happened. Egg on the face beyond, who knows what his career is going to look like beyond Empire. I mean, if you're the defense team right now, Brian Wagner, how do you coach this kid?
So if I'm the defense team, I kind of talk to him about the stages of death, right? What are the 8 stages of death? Acceptance is one of them, and denial is one of them. Very similar in a criminal prosecution when you have a client. There's stages of someone's willingness to accept responsibility. At this point, he's denying, and you got to just let him get through that. Eventually, he's going to realize the evidence against him is hard to explain, and that's when you have an honest conversation with your client and say, look, here are the ups and downs. If you go to trial and you lose, you're looking at this amount of jail time. Maybe they don't give you jail time, but we have a good chance of winning, or we have a bad chance. In his case, he has a bad. Now, you say, so how can we limit your exposure to any of these bad things? We figure out an acceptable plea bargain to you, and let's see if the prosecutor will take it. And that's how this is, in my estimation, is going to be resolved. Eventually, they're going to go to the prosecution and try to explain why he did this stupid act without trying to excuse it, just explain it, and that'll ultimately end up in a plea bargain, I think.
I'll tell you one thing. I could see the prosecution, though, really, you know, kind of digging the heels in here. All that's going on with the city, leading the country as far as murders are concerned. There is a racial divide in this country, we know. This only fueled the flames. You know, listen, this has been a tough one here. I mean, if you're working for the DA's office there, you know, maybe you got to set an example here. You know, maybe you have to fight tooth and nail. People have come out. Al Sharpton, Dale Ugly, I saw on TV last night. I heard from the NAACP president and everything else. You know, listen, you gotta at least set an example here of this nature. If I'm prosecution, I listen, no plea. I'm going to court. And we're gonna fully attempt here to hold accountable Jesse Smollett and his actions. What about that?
And that is not a bad position, and I think you were right. Many offices would take that position. On top of everything else, there is political pressure. And from what I remember at the DA office and from what I know as a defense attorney, there is always political pressure. Rahm Emanuel, the mayor of Chicago, is interested in the case. It's going to be hard to convince your office, in this case the Chicago State Attorney's Office, to plead to a lesser serious crime when the superintendent of the police department, the mayor, and other high-ups are really looking at the case as really just a national embarrassment. So it's going to be hard for them to do that, but I think eventually they will. And they will because it's, quote-unquote, the right thing to do something less serious than necessarily put this man in jail.
So Brian Wagner on the Jussie Smollett case, the only thing, Brian, you know, you can't wipe out is we do have a divide in this country there are hate crimes that are committed on a daily basis. You know, maybe one who has been at the helm of such incidents might not come forward as fast based on this type of situation. Maybe they feel a little bit of embarrassment. Maybe they have a little bit of trepidation on the fact of belief. What will happen now to them based on this case? You know, again, if you're prosecution, if you're the attorney and everything else, you know, listen, the city, I don't know. I've got to fight for those people that have crimes being committed against them and elsewhere as well. I have to make an example of this so that we know we have a problem in this country. What about that aspect?
And so if I'm the defense attorney and the prosecutor says that to me, I make the prosecutor eat those words, because it's how dare you? How dare you use one individual as an example for the rest of the world? That's not what your job is, Mr. or Ms. Prosecutor. Your job is to evaluate what is the right thing to do. And if you think the right thing to do, given this person in this circumstance, Mr. Smollett, then you should be giving him a more beneficial plea than the most serious charge, because you can't send him to jail because you want to warn everyone else. That's not appropriate. And that's the argument that I would make. Now, granted, sometimes it will be very successful. Other times it won't. But generally speaking, you should only use the individual, the defendant, society in general, and the victim, if there's a victim in this case, which doesn't seem like there is.
I get it, but he took Chicago through the mud. I mean, you know, Eddie Johnson, the chief, you know, he got in front of the mic and he said it. You know, Chicago already having a tough time. What about the resources used in this investigation over the last 3 weeks? Manpower, dollars spent questioning the two brothers. I mean, just going back and forth. What about all the hours spent on this investigation? Doesn't that mean anything, though?
Of course it means something, but does it mean he should go to jail, or does it mean he should have a criminal record, possibly a felony record? I guess what I'm saying to you is there's many different levels of how to punish this person, and the most serious punishment available might not be appropriate. And we'll have to wait and see whether or not he actually gets indicted and what the state attorney's office decides to do. But my guess is that eventually it's going to be something less than the most serious possibility, and it's going to be by a plea bargain. And I think that's appropriate. I don't think society is served by this guy being made an example of for everyone else. I think he deserves to be punished appropriately, but individually, not for the collective society good.
Hey, listen, I can't help but thank you, and you know as well the whole Tawana Brawley situation, you know, way back in the late 80s, you know, she claimed the gang had raped her, wrote KKK on her body, and charcoal, I think it was, left around the cold for days. Turned out she hadn't been raped, nor could she have been outside for that long, since she showed no sign of any type of exposure. I remember like it was yesterday, that whole incident. I don't know. I just got a bad taste here. You know, listen, we'll see. The one thing I think everybody would agree on, a formal apology to the country, to the city of Chicago, no question about it. Even to the TV show itself, made it look foolish. Quite frankly, I think that's the least Smollett can do at this point.
I agree, and one thing I would have told him is the apology that his attorneys put out and the apology he made to the Empire cast yesterday, where he denied everything and said he was being essentially being set up. If I was his attorney, I'd say, no, we're not going to put out any more information like that. Eventually, I would suggest that he apologize, but that's going to be up to him. But I would certainly stop putting out these aggressive statements where he's denying all involvement. Because the more you lie to people, one, the more they can use those statements against you, but two, the more people get turned off and less willing to forgive. So if I were his attorney, I'd tell him, now's the time just to be quiet, sit on the side, and take some bumps and bruises while we fight the case in court.
Hey, listen, it's been a hit show, no question. Guy was making $65K, folks, an episode. That's $1.2 million if you do the math as far as the number of episodes involved with him. He wanted a bump in his salary. There are ways to go about it. Listen, this was a crazy case, no question. Mr. Wagner, always a pleasure to decipher with us, and we'll talk soon down the road here.
Jay, thanks so much. Have a good Friday.